And welcome everybody to another episode of our podcast 1000 Years of Beer, presented by the Weinstephan Brewery. I welcome you, I'm Matthias, International Brand Ambassador, and to my left, as always, my colleague Anton, our online marketing manager. How are you doing?
Hi everybody, welcome to this episode about the Research Brewery, as you might have seen in the title of the podcast. We're here at the Technical University here in Weinstephan at the Chair for Brewing and Beverage Technology. I'm so glad I got this out of the system. And we're here with Christoph Neugroder. He is the head of the Research Brewery. And we're here to find out about these special beers and the special research that is done here. And Matthias, you know a little something about our guest.
Yes. As always, I'm introducing the guest. And, well, I'm always happy to be back here at the university and do another science episode of our podcast. And today I welcome Christoph Neugroder. We actually know us from our shared time here at the university. Christoph, after his high school degree, he did the apprenticeship for brewer and maltster at the Bitburger Brewery in the Eifel.
Correct.
And, and after Bitburg, you come to Weinstephan and studied here brewing science, also the engineer course like I did. So you graduated as a Diplom-Ingenieur, which is a master level degree engineering in brewing science.
Yep.
And since then, you're working, you started working here at the Chair for Brewing and Beverage Technology to do your PhD, focusing your science work on beer foam.
Exact.
And since 2018, you're the head of the Research Brewery.
Yes.
I got it
absolutely,
right.
Absolutely, absolutely correct. Everything fine.
So Research Brewery, that sounds really nice. Like you're, every day is about research and about brewing beer. So it must be a good job you have here. And it's also an institution with a long tradition and a very rich history. Can you tell us a little something about the Research Brewery itself and how it is organized here at the Technical University?
Yes, of course. The Research Brewery is one of the oldest institutions here in Weinstephan. It was built 1902. So we started the brewing in the Research Brewery in 1906. And we have a long tradition because we were always the connection between the science part and the practical part. So in the first years or on the beginning of the Research Brewery, for example, we using the steam heated vessels, which was invented by Theo Gansenmüller. Professor Gansenmüller is a very famous person here in Weinstephan or in Freising. And in the years of Professor Nazis, the whole brewery got modernized. So it was a totally different brewery like our brewery today because it was much bigger. In the former years, we produce, we have an 80 hectoliter brew house, so which is much bigger than ours now. And we produce also production beer. So, for example, we did the special beer for the Weinstephaner Brewery, which was the dark wheat beer. So we have an amount of output of 40,000 hectoliters per year. Today we are nearly at 1,000 hectoliters, so a little bit smaller.
So there were some kind of different focuses in the different times. So first, it was very focused on developing new brewing technology, like the steam-heated vessels with Theodor Gansenmüller. And then with Mr. Nazis, it comes more a little bit into a production-focused brewery because you helped us out at the Weinstephan Brewery because our capacity was too small. And so you helped us out with brewing the dark wheat beer. And then the earliest years, 2000 it was, right? Where Professor Buck brought back more the research
2006,
focus.
Exactly. Then we built a new brew house, which is our research brewery today with 8 hectoliters, so much smaller, but was state-of-the-art, or it is actually state-of-the-art. So we have another focus, not in production beer, then more than in research. But this is a cool fact about the research brewery. We can do research and produce beer. So
yeah, that's... well, that's actually what it's all about, I guess.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing also about this is that it's actually the same building and same location since 1902, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, this is more than 115 years research, brewing beer for research here at this very special place.
This is a cool thing. For example, we have the old Lauter Tunnel and the Lauter Grant. Mm-hmm. Which is not really often in the breweries because it's very old. So it's from 1920. Cooling ship. Oh, yeah. It's easy. Yeah. cooling ship, which is also nearly over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing because it's very old, and you can also see how the equipment changed in the years. And this is also for the students really nice to see and to get knowledge about it.
You can experience brewing history.
Yeah, totally, so, yeah. Totally. And also the building is very interesting, actually, because part of the building is pretty new, like where all the laboratories are. This wing is kind of new. It was, I guess, built in the 60s or 50s or 60s and got renovated over the last recent years. The building we are sitting now in, because we're guests today here, behind your bar, in a small, you call it a meeting room, but actually it's a room behind a bar, so I guess it's also a beer drinking room. But we're actually drinking a beer here, so I guess that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's...
this is the historic building from the from 1900, something about. Yep. And this is protected architecture also. And it's a very, interesting and... architecture interesting building, and it was actually designed to host a brewery and laboratory. So it was designed from day one being for research and science.
Exactly.
Very interesting. But you know, you said it, the whole building also gets renovated since a few years. I guess you're on a construction site since...
Yeah, I think the next 5 years the research building is renovated. So we built it as it was built in 1910.
Ah, okay.
So it's really interesting. There are nice plans they have, but it took some time, I think.
I see there's still some construction going on. So
the construction site is still.
But yeah, I guess when they are finished one day, you will have a pretty neat house here for your research brewery.
Yeah, of course. We will.
Okay, let's get back to your equipment. You said you in the early 2000s there the focus come back of to research and education, so smaller scales, more flexibility, more flexible equipment. So would you describe our listeners a little bit about how are you equipped and how is the strategy of your equipment and your sizing?
Yeah. So we have, as I told before, we in former years we have one big brewery, so 80 hectoliters. Now we have three different scales of brewery. So we have an 8-liter scale, an 80-liter scale, and an 800-liter scale. So it's perfect to do some scale-up processings. And for example, the 8-liter scale is. We only need 1 kilogram of malt to produce 8 liters of beer. And this is also for the scientific aspect very important because, for example, if you evaluate some barley varieties, at the first step you only have 1 kilogram. So it's difficult to brew it in the big brewer, but in the 8-liter we can do it in a special way, in a hyper-reproducible way. And also for the whole equipment, we have different sizes of tanks. So our cellar is also adapted to the different brewing plants. So we have 10-liter tanks, 30-liter tanks, 80-liter tanks, 10-hectoliter tanks, and 20-hectoliter tanks. So we have for every size for the brewery the tank. And sometimes very funny if we have some visitors here from big breweries and I show them the 10-liter tanks, they laugh at it. But this is really normal tanks. So they work like the big one. It's so interesting that you can do the whole processing and also the research in this small vessels or tanks. And this is also, it was a hard way to get to this point because if you have small volumes, it's not so easy with the... with the reproducibility of the scales.
But you get that managed. So the reproducibility from the 8 to the 800 liters are constant through.
Yeah.
Nice. But I guess what you described here is the small sizes. A lot of people, especially, I guess, in the international markets where some of our listeners are, of the English podcast, they were like, well, that's like my craft beer brewery around the corner, two blocks away.
Yeah, yeah. It's sometimes the 8-liter brew house is a little bit like, home brewing. But it's packed with sensors and it's we can control everything. We can
completely automate.
Yeah, it's
right?
Automized. It's really
fully really automated.
It's so expensive, I can tell you, because it's all special sensors, because most sensors are not in the small volume. So it's really, really interesting. So it's really nice to
and
work with.
Very that. Much special engineering.
Yeah. So a lot of German engineering in it.
Oh, yeah, German, bling.
Oh, yeah. Or Austrian, maybe Austrian.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah. Fantasy for you.
No, it's not true. He just wanted him to feel good.
Yeah. That's, absolutely. Absolutely. And we are a team with 11 people, so we have beneath me we have 5 brewmasters, 2 brewers, and 4 operation chips for a brewer and maltster. So we have a good team, and they all focus on working in the brewery, so we can handle also the equipment. It's also funny, we have some different separators, we have mesh filters in different scale, and also for the small brewery we have a separator. I think it's the only one was built by GEA, but it's very cool to see that you can work also with the small volumes in such accuracy.
With all that equipment, with all the flexibility you have, does that also mean that you're working on a lot of different projects, or is it mostly kind of just brew some beers and look how they taste? So what's the purpose of your work?
No, we do everything which is, or we help the institute, because we're not only a brewing institute, we're also an institute for beverage technology. And have the different working groups. So we do everything which is done in the industrial. So we have also optimization stuff. We have the whole raw materials. We have new equipment. Everything can be done in the research group. And this is also our Aufgabe, our exercise to do it. So, for example, a lot of research is done by the raw materials. For example, as I told you, the barley strains, which we are working on, or also the hop varieties. For example, the beer you are drinking here is a good example of this, because it's an hop variety. It's called, and now it's called Tango, but 1 year ago, the name was 2001, 2024. So it was just a number.
A project number.
And because we did some trials with different hop varieties, and this was the winner of the trials. Yeah, they give them a name, and now we drink a special beer with the Tango in it. Do you like it?
Yeah, I really love it. It's a high attenuation pils, so it has a attenuation grade of more than 90%.
95.
Yeah, it's in the end, it's dry as hell. It's has a decent bitterness, 42 IBU you mentioned, yeah. But not dry hopped, but it's super fruity. It has such a fruit nose of kind of a mix of different fruit cocktail, I would say. Or yeah, it's also like fresh hops a little bit.
Yep.
It has a very strong fresh hop character, but it isn't. It was just conventionally hopped and then late hopped in the whirlpool with a special technique. And then decent bitterness in the end, very pale, very bright, filtered. But it was very surprising in the first moment I drank it, because it was so intensely fruity in the mouthfeel, but also bitter. So I was not expecting both of it, you know? And then this drinkability, do the dryness. I mean, 94% attenuation rate. Wow.
It's one of our most dangerous beers. Mm-hmm. So because
more than 6% ABV. It's
6% alcohol, and you don't taste it.
Yeah, light citrus aroma in the end.
Yeah, so for me it's typical Tango because there's a maracuya note in it.
Yes,
for me it's,
yes.
It's it was the first imagine I had when I test the Tango, and now I have this smell and this aroma in my mind, and if I drink a beer with Tango maracuya, for me it's Tango.
So and there you're cooperating with the Hop Growers Collective in the Hallertau,
exactly,
and with the Hop Breeding Center in Hüll. And with those collective, they are breeding the varieties and growing them, and then they're bringing it to the research brewery, and you are here working on them and look how what can be done out of it. So what's the benefits of that variety next to the breeding benefits, also to the aromatic, and how it is kind of transferred in the process, so how will it end up in
exactly.
the beer. And this was the winner, actually, can I say so, winner?
Yeah, it was the I think we did six different varieties, and this
will make it to the market.
Yeah, which got named, and now we also make another project with them and try five new varieties, and the goal is that one of these varieties go to the market.
Okay. So raw materials like hops and barley, you said you're analyzing, you're brewing, and you're doing quality analysis in all brewing aspects with them. What else are you doing in the project?
Yeah.
What project?
Yeah. For example, also equipment. As I told you, we have some special equipment like a mesh filter. This mesh filter is a special mesh filter which come out of a research project, and we are now the first brewery who got this mesh filter to test it and to optimize it. Because sometimes if you do a research project, then you also you don't get a finished product. So you need time to get it better and to optimize it, so you can put it in the production brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And these are some examples what we do.
So basically we all have an example of really good beer right in front of us. So actually my next question would have been, does your beer even taste good? But we've answered that. So let me just rephrase that question. And do you brew for taste or for knowledge? What's more important?
Knowledge for taste.
It was so clear that he said that.
Yep. No, I think we are a research brewery, so the main aspect is knowledge, and if the knowledge has a good taste, then it's the perfect knowledge. But I think in the first step, it's depending on the question we have. Because, for example, if we test the separator, then we're looking for special parameters or special analyses, so we are not addicted to the final and the first point to the final beer quality. But normally, because we have a lot of work with breweries, and the brewer is interesting to get a drinkable product. So I would say 95% of our beer tastes, and the other one, it's research.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're cooperating with the industry, like the breweries come to you, or equipment companies come to you and offer you some projects like, hey, we want to find out that and that. You're doing that with us?
Yeah, that's a cool thing, because we are the research brewery. So I like the German purity law, but we do research, so we can also do stuff
outside
the purity law. And this is sometimes very crazy. So I did some, as a German brewer, I did some beers, brewed some beers. Oh, it could be difficult if someone hear what I did. I may go to jail, to brewery jail.
But yeah, you're actually allowed.
But this is which is so research, and this is also the reason why we also cooperate with different companies. So not only the German breweries, we also work with enzymes producer. When you go to the hop, some hop products are not allowed in Germany, but for me they have some advantages. So we're looking outside the box, I have to say.
You need to, because that's the that's what science should do, I guess. Yeah. I guess science should always look outside the box and try to not just get the next step. I guess the industry or the business should go the next step. I guess you as a science institution should do two steps before the next step. Like you should be three steps ahead of the next step. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, of course.
And I guess that's why, yeah, you shouldn't hide between or in or behind some kind of, even I'm also a big fan and I'm the biggest supporter of the Purity Law. But sometimes you, especially in science, you need to step out of this just to get new ideas, just getting new knowledge that maybe helps.
For example, it's for the knowledge. If you're using special products which are not according to the German Purity Law, you know more about the mechanism and what happens there. And this is also a thing.
The biochemical pathway somewhere.
And this is a thing which I also focus on, because if you're using some non-German Purity Law products, maybe we can use the German Purity Law to exchange this product, so we can do the same with the according to German Purity, but to do this, we need to know how this product is working. So it's
research outside of the Purity Law. You're trying to adapt to the Purity Law.
Exactly. Yeah.
The story continues in part 2. Listen in and find out why foam is so sexy.